Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another... Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. My headphones aren't working. With me is always my co-host, Nick Mason.
No, my headphones might be working if I had some. Don't have any in? Who's to say?
Who is to say? I can't hear my own voice. It's really... I could just hear a muffled version of my own voice.
See, this happened because we relocated...
Yeah, we did.
...to do the
Man of Steel
long-awaited
commentary.
Man of Steel commentary, yeah. Audio commentary that's on Bandcamp,
no.
And we've moved everything back into the man cave.
Regular room.
It's a man cave, or we had to unplug everything to move it, and then we plugged everything back in, and now we don't.
And now it's just a bloody disaster, mate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you do want that commentary, if you go to weeklyplanetpod/bandcamp? What is Bandcamp?
Wait, weeklyplanetpod.bandcamp.com. Yeah. There we go.
You can play it for free, but you can also, if you want, you can pay money for it. Or if you're a Patreon, it's already there.
It's already there. Yeah.
So choose your poison.
I had a really good time with it.
Me too.
Yeah.
I noticed that I had unbridled enthusiasm, and by then I was just like, I was upset. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I generally do like that movie.
At one point you had an existential crisis. You're like, you get to like nearly the end and you're like, this is okay and some of it's pretty good and I like this movie, but some of it I don't like. There's a long pause and you're like, am I wrong? So that was my favorite part, but it's all pretty good. I had a good time with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, thank you for those who've already checked it out also. And thank you to those who are going to see Indiana Jones 5 in 2019. Thank you from us. Do you hear about this?
He's back.
Do you hear about this?
He's signed on, right? Harrison Ford signed on.
I assumed that would have been part of his contract with Disney and Lucasfilm in general. I think because he's always wanted to do another one. He loves Indiana Jones
movies. They were like, we very rarely get him in the room. Let us just put him in here and sweat him out until he agrees to as many of his properties as we can get him to agree to.
We'll get Peter Mayhew to hold his marijuana above his head. Just have him try and get it.
Yep.
Until
we'll
he agrees.
Hotbox this whole room. He'll feel good. He'll let his guard down, and then we just put contracts in front of him.
That's it. That's exactly it. No, I genuinely think he's keen for this.
Uh-huh.
So they've always kind of said since Disney acquired Lucasfilm, oh no, we will do it. We'll get around to it. But if, I feel like Star Wars was a priority.
Yep.
Get that out of the way. Get your bloody Harrison Ford in, and then. Bloody bundle him off, mate.
So when this comes out, he will be how old? Well,
that's a good question. 2019. He'll be 19.
Ooh.
Let me get Harrison Ford is how old? Question mark? I'm actually writing question mark.
Hang on.
Let's experience Google.
Hey, Siri, how old is Harrison Ford now? He's 73. Thank you, Siri.
Thank you, Siri. Say thank you from me.
Thank you. James also says thank you, Siri.
73. So what's that? 3 years. So he'll be 76.
Okay.
Was it 3 years? Yeah,
76 trombones.
Yeah. What's that mean?
It's the only reference I've got there.
Okay, good.
Yeah. The big parade.
Is that too old?
To be Indiana Jones.
Well, he'll be 75, presumably, when he shoots it.
The issue will be how seamless will the transition be between him and the stuntman that is playing him in literally every action sequence and most of the sequences. You know what I mean?
They could just put a CGI head on now.
Yeah, but how good... Oh. Maybe, I don't know.
Actually, we are talking Daredevil this week. I want to talk stuntmen, so I'm going to put that in.
Great.
Because they do some bloody good work. But there's one thing I want to say in particular.
Okay.
Yeah, we are talking that. Yeah, I feel... Do you think it's going to be one of those... You know,
are they going to attempt to pass the torch again, is my question.
Well, my thinking was, and this is just a guess, that You remember that new Die Hard prequel they're making that's got Bruce Willis present day and then late 1970s John McClane on the beat?
Yep, sure.
I think we're going to get something like that.
Okay, great. So we are still going to get young
River Indiana Phoenix. Jones.
Yep, great.
I mean, who was the guy who played him in Young Indiana Jones? The guy from Boondock Saints, whose name I can't remember.
Great.
Neil Patrick Flannery, I want to say.
Sean Patrick Flannery?
Sean Patrick
Harris. I was going to say, you combine Neil Patrick Harris and Sean Patrick Flannery, which is totally fine.
Yeah. Mm. So that's interesting. The David Koepp, King Cooper. He's gonna write this one as well, and he had a big hand in Crystal Skull. There was a few people like Frank. I think Frank Darabont wrote some of that, as did George Lucas. Had the MacGuffin idea of aliens, and the real knowledge was getting your eyes burned out by an alien.
Amazing.
Or the real treasure.
And again, for me, that is not the issue of the movie. I know a lot of people look, oh, it's aliens, but
it can be whatever.
Yeah, it can be whatever. And I feel that, like, when, because it moved to the 50s,
yeah,
and that was the pulp,
yeah,
you know, the pulp staple of the 50s was you discovered aliens.
That was the pulp fiction of the time.
Pulp fiction of its time, yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, no, I agree with you. That wasn't the issue with that movie. I think the issue was, like, the CGI, and Harrison Ford's pretty much like a passenger in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, is a bit where I think he gets on the back of Shia LaBeouf's motorcycle and hugs him and they drive through a bloody
So the issue here library. Is... make him, he's going to be older, but he also has to be less like a passenger in his own movie.
Exactly.
So they're going to have to, it's going to have to be action sequences where he's crafty more than he is
fisty.
Yeah, exactly.
Crafty more than fisty, if you could, Disney.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too.
It'll be 11 years after the last one by the time this comes out.
Wow.
Because that feels fresh.
That franchise is old and we're old. Harrison Ford is very old.
He is.
Now, I think maybe another question that is pertinent is there another certain actor who is also signed on to this one?
Are you talking young, shy man LaBeouf?
Yes, I am.
There is not a chance in hell. I don't know this for a fact, but there is no way that will get him back. Not only is he a joke of a human being, nobody likes him or takes him seriously.
Do you think that... the movie will perhaps begin with Indiana Jones walking away from like a gravestone that just says Mutt Jones.
It just says Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, the actor and the man, the acting career and the man. And then they just walk away. Yeah.
Well, look, like John McClane's had a daughter and a son.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll have a daughter.
Maybe he'll have a daughter.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Whatever.
Mm. What if they got Daisy Ridley.
Yeah,
Daisy okay. Ridley.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, as a daughter, that would be
someone
fun.
Someone sent to me Anna Kendrick.
That could work.
Look, I think they're going to have to, if they're going to continue this franchise, which I feel like they will, they're going to have to recast. Because Indiana Jones isn't the kind of thing that you pass the torch. And I was saying this to Still Saunders the other day.
I'll mention that
in a minute. But that Indiana Jones isn't like Star Wars, wherein it spans thousands of years in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Jones is about one guy. During, just before the war.
Yes.
Except for the one that's in the 50s. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't go, this is his son, and this is his grandson, and he's fighting the Soviets in the 80s. Like, yeah.
Look, all you can do with Indiana Jones is go, okay, here's his major adventures.
Yep.
You know, Temple of Doom, Last Crusade, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Here's some stuff that happened slightly before those.
Yep.
Here's some stuff that happened slightly after those.
Yes, exactly.
You can try kid stuff, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah.
And stop trying to teach us math in young Indiana Jones.
Stop trying to give us edutainment.
Yeah.
It does not work.
Does anyone have fond memories of Young Indiana Jones Chronicles? If so, you're wrong. Your brain is wrong.
I thought you were going to say email in.
No.
But don't email in. You're wrong.
Don't bother.
Yeah.
Well, this might tie into Indiana Jones because they've narrowed the list down again for the Young Han Solo movie called Young Han Solo Chronicles.
Uh-huh.
And it's some of the names we've heard before. They've confirmed that Chewbacca is going to be in it.
Great.
That's the reaction. Good. But they've got...
Although, who's real funny in the last one?
Real funny...
Was he funny, though?
Yeah, he was funny. Yeah.
Okay.
And you just get... Because, actually, Chewbacca was played by... Oh, you'd obviously
they were a fun
this.
Double act, really.
They were. Yeah. They were. Two actors. There's a guy, I think he's a young Norwegian guy who did all the running around and the climbing ladders, and Peter Mayhew did all the sitting.
Uh-huh.
So, you know. Because, you know, his knees aren't so good. But, yeah, so they've got Alden Ehrenreich, who's in Hail Caesar, and apparently he's one of the best parts of that. Okay. I haven't seen it.
I also haven't seen it. I was super bang up for seeing it, but then every review and everybody who's talked to me about it who's seen it has gone, look, it's pretty fun, but who cares?
Yes,
kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, it's not their best and it's not their worst.
Yeah,
so
totally. Yeah.
See it whenever you get around to seeing it. Anyway, you were saying.
What else was I saying?
Other actors.
Jack Raynor from Transformers.
So you were on Steel Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
The Steel Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
The Star Wars podcast.
Star Wars Steel Wars podcast.
That's the one.
It's called Steel Wars.
And you were mentioning there's a guy who just does like a Han Solo impression.
There is,
and
yeah,
people
yeah.
being like, hi, this guy to be young Han Solo because he does a great Han Solo impression.
Yeah.
But what you were saying was
yes.
that he just does like a very good impression of the Han Solo lines that
the things
already
that
exist.
Have already been said. Yes.
So you'd need Harrison Ford offside,
yes.
like just out of camera range, feeding him lines the way that Han Solo would, and then he can copy them.
That's right.
Right.
Or like using him like a marionette.
Yeah, so he's more like he's a marionette / parrot. So he's off the table.
A parrotinette.
Yeah.
Parionette?
Oh, parionette. That's
Thank
good.
You. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll quickly mention that now. Yeah, I caught up with Steele Saunders, comedian,
mm-hmm.
podcaster.
Correct.
All-round entertainment guru.
Mm-hmm.
We had a two-hour chat about Star Wars on his podcast, Steel Wars, and we talk about like all our, you know, mine and his favorite things from Star Wars and The Force Awakens and things we don't like, which is mostly like the prequels and like how we got started with the podcast and how I got started on YouTube. And yeah, it's an awesome podcast. He does like a whole lot of great interviews. He had like Leonard Maltin, a whole lot of people who have like, one of the editors of Force Awakens and people who have built droids and like it's a
so
great,
much stuff,
it's a great
yeah.
podcast. So mm-hmm. check it out. Steel Wars. And also you did an episode as well.
I did.
An earlier one.
Yeah. Quite a whole bunch of episodes ago.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, if people are keen, I'll link it below.
So you've got two options.
Yes.
If you want to listen to a podcast, a Star Wars podcast featuring one of us, it's do you want to listen to somebody who knows something about Star Wars or not? So you can either choose James' episode or my episode respectively.
That's exactly it. Also, they're up for the, he's up for the Star Wars Podcast Awards.
Yeah.
For like favorite podcast and a bunch of other stuff. I'll link that below. Give him a bloody vote because it's a good podcast. Get into it. Well recommended by both of us.
Yes.
Also me. You said it was garbage.
What? Uh-oh. You'll edit this out, right?
Definitely.
Great.
No, it's good. It's genuinely good. Another one was Taron Egerton from Kingsman.
Oh, yes.
I think he's good. He's probably my favorite.
Yep.
Yeah. Did I mention Jack Raynor from Transformers?
Yes, you did.
That? Yeah. Yeah, you had no reaction, I noticed.
He's the weird...
Irish
drift
kid.
Driver.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Blake Jenner, who I'm like, every time I hear that, I'm like, who is that?
Is he a Kardashian?
I don't think he is.
Okay.
No, he's from Glee. He's got the hair for it.
Sure.
And Jack O'Connell from Unbroken, which I think is that Angelina Jolie movie about that sprinter who gets captured by the Japanese, I think. I'm just looking that up. And that may or may not be him. I think it is Sam. So yeah, these ages vary, but they're mostly like mid-20-ish.
Okay, sure.
So that looks like what, because Han Solo, I think, is 32, 33, maybe.
Okay.
In the first Star Wars, give or take.
Mm.
Maybe closer to above or below that age. But the thing... but
he's definitely of an age. He's a certain number of parsecs.
Yeah.
That's his age. We don't know how many that is. It's very vague.
Here's a question, though, for you.
Yes.
If they, well, they are, they're recasting Han Solo, and if they recast young Indiana Jones, do they go same actor?
Oh, no, because if one is a disaster,
yes.
they're both a disaster.
Right, right.
So
right.
I reckon, and yeah, now they've got a, although what if one turns out to be really good?
Yeah.
And they just swap out the bad one for the good one?
Yeah. I think that's what would happen though.
You know what, because...
Like people would, I don't think that would happen, but people would demand it though, to be like, get the other guy!
Yeah.
Who's in the other one that I like?
That might be kind of, you might get kind of competitive.
Totally, yeah.
In the sense of like, if I'm not the best Han Solo I can possibly be, I will get bumped for the guy who's the best Indiana Jones
that's
he can possibly
exactly
be. Yeah.
And I feel like if they did give it to the one guy, though,
yeah,
that's giving one guy too much power.
Yeah, it is, isn't
at
it?
At Disney.
He could start to... That, exactly right. He could start to demand things.
That's
you
right.
Know, if they're both wildly successful, he could be like, you know...
Come on.
I want a trailer. I don't want to have to sit around in the corner of the lunchroom.
I demand that Harrison Ford does all my studs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I'm not excited for the Han Solo movie.
Okay.
It's an inevitability.
Yeah.
It's a thing we're going to get. I think the universe is bigger than the four people that are in the
sure.
original Star Wars or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we're getting it, fine. But after this, can we just get some other stuff, maybe? just another movie. About, like, I'm happy we're getting Rogue One because it's other stuff.
Yep.
Just some more other stuff would be great.
Other stuff would be great, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't need to know that. We don't need to know every minute aspect of everybody's backstory.
No.
In a lot of cases, it's just better to go, imagine what it would be like. Isn't that great? That
Or don't think about
don't
it.
Don't think about it at all.
That's right.
Think about your own life. Do your taxes. They're coming up.
That's it. Warcraft trailer. It's just a short one.
Yeah.
About a minute or so.
That's right.
I liked the beginning because it was very simple.
Yep.
Two, one. Those orcs, they look oddly big, don't they?
Yeah.
Like they don't quite fit the world because they're so big.
Yeah,
is that,
yeah.
Is that just me? I mean, I know that's how they look. I'm aware of that. But the humans in the games have like giant shoulder pads match it. And they're about the same size, but they're not really in this.
Mm.
Anyway, whatever.
Is that going to be the worst thing about this movie?
Probably not.
I think I had the same reaction. Because I was pretty ambivalent to the last one.
Yeah.
And then I watched some of this and I'm like, oh, it's looking quite a lot better. Looks pretty good. And then it's my enthusiasm tapered off.
Then it's like Griffin's castle.
Exactly.
Massive.
In the space of 1 minute, I'm like, oh, maybe not. And there's a scene right at the end where like, one, like a human charges an orc or an orc charges a human and it didn't look great.
Sounds like a bloody Warcraft, mate.
Yeah, it sounded like a real Warcraft. Is that good or bad? Who's to say?
I want this to be good.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't Duncan Jones, I'd be like, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But because I've loved literally every movie he's ever made,
yeah,
the two that he's made,
uh-huh,
that I'm aware of, maybe it's more than that, then I'm totally on board for this,
yeah,
regardless. Yeah.
You know how in every video game movie they somehow... They attempt to like shoehorn in a mechanic that is the same as
like the Doom game.
Like in the Doom where there's a first person perspective scene that is awful. Do you think there'll be
that
some
was all right.
Do you think there'll be some sort of real time strategy?
Oh, I hope so.
Like or because it'll
there'll be like a board where like a shuffleboard
and or a map where somebody like there'll be an army marching and there'll be a map and you'll hear a little, like somebody will draw like a circle around their target and you hear a little click as it's happening kind of thing, maybe that.
Maybe we'll get a map and then you'll zoom into the map and then it will go bird's eye view of the battle and then it will kind of swoop in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That being said, I want the shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard would be good, wouldn't it?
The shuffleboard.
Yeah.
Are you excited for this though?
No. Not even a little bit.
All right.
But maybe maybe I'm managing my expectations there. Maybe it'll be great. Again, I really like Duncan Jones.
Yeah.
He hasn't missed yet.
Yeah.
Maybe he will with this one, though, because all video game movies are garbage. But maybe he'll be the first one.
Yeah.
But probably not. Maybe, though.
Let's bloody...
If I keep my expectations below rock bottom, I'll be pleasantly surprised.
That's right.
Or I won't. It'll still be bad.
Look, it's not going to be worse than Dungeons & Dragons.
Unless it is. Because at least... Dungeons and Dragons
has dungeons and another element
from like the role playing game, but unless you watch it, you don't know. But at least the first one was real dumb.
Yes,
and they sort of acknowledged it was real dumb. This doesn't look like it doesn't look like any of it's gonna be tongue in cheek. But maybe we're gonna be surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Speaking of trailers, though,
yes,
X-Men Apocalypse new trailer.
Now, my reaction was, oh, this is pretty cool. I like we got a little bit of more of like, we see a little bit more of Apocalypse's origin. We see like some...
He gets his buddy celestial
Yeah, some mutation, but then we see like some sort of high-tech thing.
Yeah.
Has he created that?
Is it alien?
Are we adding in the alien technology? Who's to say?
It's Bryan Singer, probably not.
It's looking pretty good. Your reaction was...
I said, I think I'm sick of comic book movies. No, I said, this is the kind of thing. And look, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
It looks great and flashy, but how this... I should be excited for this, but then I see Civil War and Batman, be Superman. This isn't... I mean, I'm not saying it may be better than both of those movies, but how does this distinguish itself? How does it make itself better than that? It's got that bloody sad... It's a sad pop song.
Yep.
The world is destroying again. Missiles in the sky. There's a guy who's going to kill everybody.
It did feel very disconnected from reality.
Mm.
This maybe the movie doesn't, but this particular trailer, it did feel the whole thing was taking place in some sort of...
Vacuum.
Yeah, some sort of pocket dimension of some sort.
Right.
Like the sky was a weird colour.
Yeah,
and everything's kind of CG around them.
Yeah.
We didn't see any real people kind of...
Okay,
and
sure.
And again, it's in this weird time stream... fork in the road kind of thing.
Is it the '80s? Yes.
And we know everybody lived.
Yeah.
So is this universe going to disintegrate at the end of this one, or are we going to go back to the regular X-Men universe?
I think it will be good. I have no enthusiasm for that trailer.
Because the other day, we had X-Men, we're having X-Men Apocalypse. I was thinking back to X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking of all the inconsistencies
like,
in this universe so far. And I remember thinking, how did Professor X, because remember in the third one, he was Professor X'd, he was disintegrated.
Yes.
And then he ends up in the body of
his brother, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if it was his brother. It was just a guy.
I think it was supposed to be his twin brother. Ah. I think it's implied. But even then.
Even then, but then he.
Why didn't his legs work? I guess they atrophied.
Maybe
he was
the guy
was in a coma.
Yeah. And then I'm like, I'll look up the timeline. Big mistake. I'm like, because I just Googled, like, X-Men 3, Xavier blooper, or like.
And your laptop just went no and slammed down the figures and
broke them. And there was just 100 articles with other inconsistencies in the timeline. It's just
no,
a mess.
Look, I don't have a problem with that because it's just this universe started before all of this stuff kicked off.
Yep.
Right? Like Marvel wouldn't and the DC universe wouldn't be as coherent if, you know, X-Men hadn't kind of set the, started that kind of shared universe of X-Men and whatever. But I'm sure it'll be fine, but like, I like the villain of Apocalypse, but this looks just like a guy.
Apocalypse.
What did I say?
No, you said the villain of Apocalypse, just in case people don't know.
Okay, right. Yeah. Thank you, yes.
Yeah.
And I just think he's supposed to be this giant hulking monstrosity who can do anything, and all I see is a guy in a dream sequence swinging around a dude whose legs don't work. Like, do you see what I mean? And he's just yelling into the sky and maybe there's a tornado.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm sure he'll do more, and I like Oscar Isaacs.
Yeah.
Who's great.
Apocalypse.
Apocalypse in the movie of the same Apocalypse.
Yep.
But I don't know. It's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just tired. I just watched a lot of Daredevil.
You seem very tired.
Okay. But speaking of Daredevil, is there any more? Oh, did you want to talk about the George Lucas?
I was going to say, I was hoping to smoothly segue into it from Star Wars. But the biggest Star Wars news of this week is that George Lucas was photographed eating lunch in a food court in Adelaide.
Yeah, more like Radelaide.
Yeah,
am I right?
Very good. Absolutely.
City of churches. Yes, please. It looks like just some kind of food court Chinese food.
Yeah, like some Chinese or a curry or something like that. He's reading the local Adelaide rag.
The Radelaide rag?
The Radelaide rag. Yeah. The Radelaide Radvertiser. But yeah, it's... So His wife is a businesswoman, and she is one of the heads of DreamWorks.
Say, yeah.
And so she was in Adelaide for a conference about being a rich CEO, I assume.
I didn't get invited to that. It's weird,
right? We're both internet celebrities, so it's very odd that we weren't. But I guess he must have been like, and he accompanied her, so I guess he must have been. My theory is that he was like, because I'm sure he's one of those guys that if he leaves the house in America, he is mobbed from the second leaves the house to the second where he gets. So he just doesn't go anywhere.
Mobbed or accosted.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, or people just yell, Jar Jar, or whatever. So I reckon he's like, this is my chance.
Yeah.
No one will expect me to be here.
Yeah.
So I will just go out among people and have a little lunch in a food court, and it'll be great. But then, like, underneath the article, there's just a lot of photos of, like, fans taking selfies with him, and he's looking sad. He's like, my plan, it's come undone.
I wish. He doesn't have that, he definitely doesn't have that, what is it, anonymity is the word?
Yeah.
He's always kind of wanted it, though. Like, he's never been comfortable with, you know, the public spotlight.
Well, he certainly looks uncomfortable.
Despite his billions of dollars, like I do feel for him, man, because I'm sure he just wants to live a normal life. Can you imagine going to a food court and people are just hassling you?
Yeah.
I mean, more so.
I love my food court time.
I hate a food court. I'm not going to lie. There's never
You haven't been to the right food court.
I've been to plenty of food courts, mate.
All right.
Name seven of them. I'll tell you whether I've been there. The one at Crown Casino.
Okay, you've been there?
It's garbage.
Greensboro Food Court.
It's terrible.
Doncaster Food Court.
Not as bad.
Northland Food Court.
Garbage.
Eastland Food Court.
Garbage.
Westfield. No, wait.
What's the ones in the city?
The Emporium Food Court.
Not
in the
bad.
City. Not
bad.
Thank you. There we go. In your face.
I'm sure some of those I haven't
anyway,
been.
This is our new segment, Food Court Talk.
That was close to seven, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Yeah.
All right, well, look. You know what we got to talk about?
Yeah.
Bloody Daredevil.
Yes.
Before we do that, another ad.
Okay, good.
We don't have to do that. Though, I should mention...
I was like, man, I'm unprepared for another ad, because I'm normally so prepared for the ads.
I'm doing...
You're always just like, geek fuel, go, and I'm like, what is it?
I'm actually doing for the first time this week to see how it goes. My Batman Superman video, I'm doing an Audible ad.
Oh, yes.
So just to test it out, because I'm worried that YouTube's going to shut down, I'm going to have no money. So I'm like, shit, I'm going to take all the money I can get. So yeah, people,
because it,
look forward to that.
YouTube is a...
bloody
crap. Like, it's a roll of the dice, isn't it?
It really is.
Like, so I'm like, because if the key is you get a lot of downloads and then like they pay you for views.
If they let you monetize the videos.
For whatever reason, somebody might be like, well, you've got a picture of the X-Men in there, so you can't monetize this.
We're taking three of your teeth.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to get in first every time.
That's it. Yeah. But yeah, like, anyway, we'll just see how that goes.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's not going to be a regular thing. It might be every now and then. See how it goes. See how badly people react to it.
Of course. I'm going to predict very badly.
That's all right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You've probably heard this, or maybe you've even experienced it. A business gets to a certain size, and then the cracks start to emerge. Things that used to take like a day are now taking a week. There's too many manual processes just grinding away, and you don't have that one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and a whole lot more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. NetSuite allows you to have the power of all the information in one place to help you make more effective decisions as quickly as possible, so you can keep moving, keep building, keep growing, or have more time off. Whatever it is that you're looking to do. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. That's netsuite.com/weeklyplanet to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother f***. Or sales. I definitely prefer... don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying? When you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot. Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
All right, Daredevil.
Let's talk about it.
We actually got through all 13 episodes.
Yes,
we
did.
People, someone asked on Twitter, do we watch them together?
We do not watch them together.
No, we don't. We've got our own lives, don't we?
Sort of. We've both got sort of lives. So yeah, I mean, obviously we don't have enough lives that we can't watch 13 hours of a
that's
TV
exactly
show
right.
over the course of 48 hours. But,
yeah, that's very, very true. So we're going to do what we normally do with these things. We're aware that obviously, some people do have lives and haven't watched 13 hours of Daredevil. Well, it's not really 13 because they're like 40-minute episodes or whatever. I can do the math. Let me figure out exactly how many minutes of Daredevil.
I'll ask Siri.
Please do. So, yeah, we're going to do non-spoilers, spoilers. So we'll clearly mark when, and it'll be in the time, because I do timestamps now, Mason.
Yeah, you do.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So we'll
you do the timestamps of an insane person. Like, you know in that movie where Jim Carrey's obsessed with a number, whatever it is?
13? 43?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I've never
that's
seen that
how
one.
You do time codes.
Isn't he a saxophonist?
Just scroll, you scroll them all on your wall in your own blood.
Yeah.
/ feces, and then you put them in the episode description.
It turns out you can just do it as you edit it.
Huh.
I was like, that seems hard, but it's really not. It's really easy. So there you go. And people seem
lovers
to
of time
it.
Codes, look out. A whole new era has begun.
You know it. So here we go. Bloody, what's a thing? What do you think the story was of this season two of Daredevil?
Oh, no.
Again.
I didn't think we were doing this for TV shows.
Oh, yes.
Ah, well.
I can't wait to ask you about what happened in Arrow this season.
Oh, no.
We're not doing an Arrow episode.
Great.
It's not happening.
Well, last season,
yeah.
Matt Murdock became a Daredevil.
He did.
A fully fledged Daredevil. He took down Wilson Fisk, the kingpin.
Yep.
He drove the Yakuza out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Other things.
Yeah.
But this time around,
Billy Clubs.
More things are happening.
In a way,
more things are happening. There's fallout from all
mobs.
This crime fighting. All the mobs are...
They're trying to mob about.
They're trying to become the best mob.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? They're going to be trying to become the king mob.
That's it. So there's a lot of that. Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of things going on like that. And then you've got all sorts of, you've got this new kind of force in town, which turns out, spoiler alert, it's not a spoiler because it's in all the posters.
It's in all the posters,
it's the Punisher, and he's just systematically working his way through all the mobs.
All the mobs.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll become king mob.
Maybe. Is there really a character called King Mob?
No, it's from The Invisibles.
Okay, right.
It's a character called King Mob.
So yeah, there are kind of multiple plot points, and there's court cases, and there's a day in the life, and there's newspaper stuff.
It did
stuff
feel like a different vibe from the previous season.
Especially after the first, I want to say four.
Yeah.
It kind of takes a shift.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed the pace of this one.
Okay, because it didn't just feel like one thing.
Yeah, I feel it would have been,
it was multiple
the last
arcs.
One, the last season was, I enjoyed it a lot, but I felt it was quite exhausting.
Yes.
But this one I didn't feel that at all.
I definitely didn't feel as exhausted. That being said, I still think this could be 8 to 10.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah.
When you get to about episode 11, you're like, surely there's not more plot to this.
Yes.
That's how I feel about all these Marvel series so far.
And then there's more plot. There's normally
more plot.
A thing with a boat.
Yep.
And then it's on.
It's almost certainly a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you think all the multiple plots were all good?
Yes.
So you're happy with your bloody Foggy Nelson adventures and...
Foggy Nelson... is a lot better this season.
He definitely is a lot better.
He's coming to his own as a fully fledged. He's one of those characters who'd be like, why are these two hanging out? And you go, okay, because he's a very good lawyer.
That being said, I do feel there's a lot of him where, like, Matt Murdock's always late to things.
Uh-huh.
And Foggy Nelson knows that he's Daredevil.
Right.
And then Matt's like, I'm so sorry I'm late. I had to deal with a whole bunch of stuff. And Foggy's like, that's not good enough, Matt.
And
you made a commitment.
Yeah,
and he's
like,
I've been all beaten up.
I've been stabbed three times.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your excuses, Matthew. Mm. Like, dude, why don't you bloody chill out, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not running around in the dark, rolling across a rooftop and getting punched in the face, are you? You didn't get shot in the head, which is maybe a thing that happens in this series.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers if when we get to the maybe. But it's, yeah, I've found not all the plots as engaging as others.
Oh, really?
Like the newspaper stuff, like where they're trying to uncover a bit about the past, about the Punisher. It's like, just bloody wrap this up.
Just wrap it up real quick.
Like this is five episodes long when it should be one.
Well, see, that's because there are some elements to the plot where different people discover things at the same time.
And yes.
I felt that was more realistic.
Right.
In that,
I don't want realism.
No, but see, in a lot of these kind of shows, there's like a whole bunch of real dum-dums and one guy who figures out everything. And it makes more sense to me that, well, everybody's trying to figure out this one thing.
Yeah.
People come at it from different angles. The police come at it from one angle. Daredevil comes at it from another angle.
Usually
the
punching.
Mostly punching and being stabbed. Yeah. And then the newspaper people come up from another angle and it all sort of comes together at the end. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It was like a real big episode of Seinfeld.
Exactly. Mm. Maybe a little... Yeah, so I'm not against the multiple storylines, but I want to get to more of that in spoilers. Mm-hmm. So the cast, as always, would you say is solid?
Yes.
Foggy Nelson's really, you reckon he's stepped up? He's a real
thespian. I think so, yeah. Because
I know for me, and I think for you as well, his acting, especially when he ramps it up last season, is a bit high school theater. Like
yeah,
a guy
but I think it's a lot better now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Mm-hmm. So as far as new cast go, we've got like a few new villains, like a few new mob bosses. I guess we can't really go into them too much because the villains are kind of revealed as they go and certain characters show up. So we can't really touch on that yet. Would you agree with that?
I agree. It's,
but the new Punisher we can talk about.
John Bernthal.
Yeah, what do you think?
The best. Great.
Better than Ray Donovan? The TV
Stevenson.
Series.
It's better than watching an episode of Ray Donovan.
That's interesting.
Where he's some sort of fixer of something. I don't know what he does.
Not
Who's
sure.
to say?
Yeah.
People are like, oh my God, the show's so extreme. Is it? Is it?
In the first episode, I heard there's a thing he does to people called the bat or the bag. So you get a choice.
Uh-huh.
So he either hits you with a bat or in the bag, he's got some kind of paint and he like paints you green. And those are your options. And you pick. I'm not making it up.
Is it a live bat? He slaps you with it.
What would you pick?
He's like, I can let this live bat loose in your room and you'll be real scared, but you can also put the bag on your head and then you won't be scared because you're a toddler. You don't understand object permanence.
New Punisher, you enjoyed him a lot.
I enjoyed him a lot. I mean, Ray Stevenson's Punisher is the Marvel Max Punisher.
Yes.
He's a murderous robot.
Yeah.
Like he has emotions to a degree, but he's just like, he's switched them all off.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm just going to mow down as many people in amusing ways.
Yes.
To amuse me and the reader and writer Garth Ennis.
Right. That's probably true. I mean, that is true.
But this guy's got a lot more depth.
He's definitely got more depth and he's definitely got more of an emotional, like you kind of get into his backstory and the way he's feeling.
Yeah.
Do you think that... The violence is obviously toned down for this compared to that movie that we're talking about.
Is it though?
I think so.
What Punisher Warzone?
Like, there's less of it.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I think this is more brutal though.
Really? Like, more kind of realistically brutal?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Like,
because there was
point
more,
blank shooting people.
Yeah, Punisher Warzone was cartoonishly violent.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Yes.
There were a lot of people. There was somebody gets shot out of midair with a bazooka round.
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I think, this was definitely more, in terms of real visceral fist fighting and stuff, this was real good.
Sure, that's fair enough. Mm-hmm. I still feel like it lacked, for me, it lacked the over-the-top carnage of the Punisher. Especially when there's things that you think he's going to do and then he doesn't do. Which
I see. We'll get to that. Yeah, we'll definitely get to that. Yeah.
But, I did like him, though.
Uh-huh.
He's a little teeny for the Punisher, though.
I never really felt that.
No? Okay.
No, not really.
No. Fair enough.
Mm.
I guess, what's his name? Thomas Jane wasn't enormous as the Punisher. Mm. And I actually don't mind his Punisher.
And either. I also enjoy, speaking of Thomas Jane as the Punisher, I enjoy in this version, he is a war veteran again.
Yes.
He's not a FBI agent or a cop.
Is that what he was in that one?
In the Thomas Jane Punisher, he was an FBI agent.
Okay, right.
Which is not the same.
No, it's
I mean,
really
I'm
not.
Sure they see some weird stuff.
Some aliens and the like.
Aliens.
Maybe a werewolf or two.
Probably a werewolf, but like the idea that Frank Castle is so mentally scarred because of just war and mob stuff and like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
But also I felt that they didn't cop out by just going, oh, he's just crazy because of, like,
no.
It's PTSD. Everybody who has PTSD is crazy and is, you know, one step from shooting people up or
That's
whatever.
Right. They go to great lengths to explain why he is the way he is. And it's not really definitively what it's this reason.
Yeah.
Maybe he chose to do it. Maybe it's a specific thing that happened
There's enough stuff that happened to him that it is a bit ambiguous.
Yeah.
But he is also one to stress that war veterans aren't just all on a hair trigger and they're all just going to start shooting up criminals or whatever.
Yeah, you know? That's exactly
it. He is the way he is because...
A thing
we don't know. Yeah,
thing,
we don't know. We don't know yet. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you think it was... So, did you think it was too long though? Do you think this could have been 10? 8? 4?
Could have been 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think we're just going to get 13 forever?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Action-wise...
Yes.
In terms of all the action that was
Oh,
had,
yes.
A lot more fist fights.
Yes.
Maybe it's just because I haven't seen the first season since I first watched it. It's not the kind of thing that I'm like, I'll just cruise back in and watch 13 episodes. But especially compared to Jessica Jones, there's a lot more choreographed action in this. A lot more fights in a hallway.
Yeah.
There's one extended corridor stairwell and then maybe another corridor fight sequence.
I think these were some excellent fight sequences.
Totally,
The best so far in these Netflix series is they're the best.
Yeah.
Daredevil, the first season was really brutal.
Yeah.
And it feels like, again, like if we've seen, you know, you think about Captain America.
Yeah.
In the first Captain America, he's a guy who fights like he's a boxer in the army kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's received some basic training. And then by Captain America 2, you know, he's received SHIELD Special Forces training.
He's doing flips and shit.
He's doing flips, exactly. And he's you know, he's a Special Forces guy. This felt the same way. Like in the first season, Daredevil's a guy who's had a lot of training, but he's never really been in real fight situations.
Right, right.
And so actually being in a fight with multiple opponents where it is life or death is new to him.
Yeah.
But in this, he knows what's going on.
Yes.
He's very well prepared for this sort of thing.
And not only that, he's not just dressed in like a black skivvy.
Yeah,
he's actually armored.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got armored gloves and
He's very well prepared, and it shows. Like this feels like a really good evolution.
Totally.
They didn't go, you know, it worked last time exactly the same thing. They've clearly thought about it and gone.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
We need a more trained guy.
Yeah,
and
totally.
It looks great. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. There's actually one. Oh, I'm not going to talk about it. There's a thing that he gets towards the end.
Yeah.
We'll save that for spoilers.
Hemorrhoids.
Yes, he does. No, you really can't fault the action in this.
Not at all.
Though I did feel in this season there's a more kind of fist fights and ninjas and whatever for the sake of it. It's like, oh, look, it's another gang of criminals he has to beat up.
But I feel also more that it's a case of, it's leaning a little bit more towards it being the Marvel Universe.
Right, right.
One of the issues I have with the first season of Daredevil and Jessica Jones is it could have been set anywhere. It could have been,
right.
I mean, it does help that it is a self-contained universe.
Yeah.
You don't want Daredevil getting into trouble and Thor just showing up and knocking everybody down or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, especially with Jessica Jones, it was a great series and it was dark and it was action-packed and, you know, there were some real, you know, dark themes and important stuff to talk about, but it wasn't the Marvel Universe.
No.
There was almost no reference to it.
There are little bits and pieces.
Little bits and pieces.
Characters here and there
and
newspaper clipping and whatever, yeah.
But like this one, I feel they're going, okay, well, this needs to be more.
Yeah. Marvel. I still think the first season of Daredevil had a lot of, more. Like you get like the Owsley and Kingpin and whatever. I still think it had, and there's a lot of like, remember what happened in New York? Kind of conversations.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I think, Jessica Jones definitely not as much.
Yeah, but this one I feel is more leaning towards, well, crazy stuff happens in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, yeah.
People are constantly being attacked by ninjas.
Yeah.
Let's just throw it in.
See, I felt also that I need this to go further. I want to talk, we'll talk about more of this in spoilers, but I want more mysticism, more magic. Because Daredevil, there's a whole lot of different things going on. I feel like this season is pretty much, it's not beat for beat the same season, but it just felt like more of the same.
Did you feel, some people on Twitter have said that it's a setup season?
A little bit, definitely.
It's a setup
for
something else, sure. Whether it be season 3 of Daredevil or the Defenders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, definitely potential. I wouldn't say the whole thing is that, but the Punisher stuff doesn't have as much to do with it as you'd think.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm.
So if you're going in thinking this is a strictly a Punisher series, it's really not. I think on the back of this, we'll definitely get a Punisher series.
Yes.
Like, I can't imagine they're not going to do that.
Yeah. In fact, the Punisher's story. Yeah, the Punisher storyline goes in and out.
Yeah.
And the conclusion of the Punisher story isn't really where you think it's going to be.
No.
It doesn't end where you think it's going to be.
No.
It doesn't end when you think it's going to end.
No. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm. And I think maybe for the worse. I think personally, but maybe that's because we will see more of him.
Yeah.
Because he's more of a minor character, especially in the latter half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Than the other parts. But look, let's talk costumes.
Okay, great.
What costume would you wear at the Comic-Con if you had to pick one out of all these costumes? Probably the Electro one, yeah?
Yeah, it'd be real nice.
Yeah. So silky smooth. Let me think. So there's a new, you know what I love?
Yes.
The Daredevil gets some minor tweaks.
Yep.
He gets new gloves and a new helmet.
Uh-huh.
The new helmet is spectacular.
Yes, it is. It looks
it
great.
It is. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not 100%, I wasn't 100% sold on the helmet from the last season.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of like, yeah, no, it's okay. And it kind of grew on me a little bit. But this is amazing.
Yes, it is.
It just fits him. You notice it fits him perfectly.
Yep.
Doesn't have weird ear bits.
The mark of a good helmet is, in this kind of TV show movie, is... you aren't just sitting there waiting for him to take it off so he doesn't look so ridiculous, which has been the case for a lot of stuff. Again, Captain America's first couple of helmets.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, when's he going to take that off?
More so the Avengers,
The Avengers look real dumb.
Yeah.
When it comes off at like the three-quarter time mark, you're like, finally.
Thank God. Look at that beautiful hair.
Yeah, so
look
good.
Look at it flow. But
yeah, it looks very good.
Yeah, it's bloody dead on. It's way better than the other one from that movie, the leather one.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and it's got the proper red eyes as
well.
Yeah,
that was very good.
Yep. There's actually a moment where it's towards the end of the season where you see him go to put it on and it's got a little black hood over it. It's got like a ski mask kind of thing to it as well. So
okay. He
puts that on and then he slots the helmet over the top.
Good idea.
So it's got a weird black mesh.
Doesn't catch on his ears.
Exactly.
Yeah, good, great.
It's pretty clever, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was cool. What about Elektra?
Still doesn't have a DD.
No,
which
doesn't.
Is probably for the best.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I think we'll continue to see the suit evolve, though.
I reckon this is it.
You reckon?
Yep.
I don't know. I think we're going to see, like, maybe different armored chest plate or whatever.
Okay.
I think it'll change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The helmet, don't change it. Leave it.
Don't change the helmet.
Never change it.
Never change the helmet.
Maybe the color. Maybe a bit redder.
Not redder.
Don't change
too
it.
Too much red.
Less red.
Weird red skull.
Yeah.
I've already got one of those.
That's exactly it. What about Elektra?
It's not
tradish, is it?
No, but the comic book costume is very impractical.
You do kind of see it at one point. I'm not going to spoil when.
Uh-huh.
You see that comic book outfit.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I'll tell you in the spoilers.
Okay, great.
Yeah, let me just write that down so I can
But
forget.
I feel that outfit is very impractical.
Yeah.
Everybody who, like anybody who's worn it as a cosplay is always like, I got the bits on my leg and they're always falling off and then these weird rings around the leg and there's things and...
I look like a gypsy with this bandana.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is like turtleneck.
It is, yeah.
Is it a neckerchief? I don't know.
I think it's built into
the top. Into the top.
Built into the
top. I think we had this discussion.
Yeah,
we
did. It's not a neckerchief or a snood. It's built into the top.
What about the Punisher?
Yes.
What about him, Mason?
Oh.
The outfit.
Well, again, the original Punisher outfit is a superhero-y outfit.
Yeah.
It doesn't work in the real world at all.
It's a spandex.
It's spandex. It's got white boots. It's got white gloves. It's got a white belt.
Yep.
Doesn't work.
A giant white skull. And it's kind of... The Punisher Max is more trench coat, kind of tactical vest with a skull on it.
Yeah, he's gone through a whole bunch of stuff.
And this is kind of what he doesn't. It's like the Daredevil.
This is what a madman with a gun would wear.
Yeah, that's right.
Pants and a t-shirt, an army jacket, and a gun.
Yeah, it's like the same way in the first season of Daredevil. He doesn't get the proper Punisher look until very late in the game.
Uh-huh.
So I guess if you're going and expecting that.
Yeah.
You'll get it eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah. He's...
This Punisher is a guy who doesn't want to be the Punisher.
No.
He just wants to do a job.
Though
and
he
get
does
out.
Scream it at one point.
Yeah, all right.
Not initially.
But he was backed into a corner.
He certainly was, yeah. So, no, I really like it. I think it makes sense.
I was a little against the hair initially.
His other. It grows, though. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It gets a bit
on
longer.
You.
Yeah. No, I mean,
hair does grow on you.
Does it?
Yeah, it literally grows
on
good.
You.
Good. But his hair literally grows on me. Wait, metaphorically. But initially I'm like, it's a little too cropped and it's weird and he's got the ears.
Yeah.
But you get used to it.
But it does grow out. Like it literally gets longer by the end of the season.
Huh.
So I'm trying to think. I think we should go into spoilers.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
In conclusion, if you've got Netflix, this is free to watch.
Yeah,
so
get into
just
it.
Just do it. Or yeah. if you don't have Netflix, the first month is free to watch.
So just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
It's great. And a good old time.
Geekfuels.com/weeklyplanet.
Action's, action's great. But again, it is kind of, some people would say it's a kind of a set up yeah. season.
I will say this.
Yes.
I thought the Punisher's backstory was way too complicated.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Like, it's just like, it's a series of conspiracies within conspiracies.
Yeah, so the Punisher's origin, for anybody who doesn't know it, in the comics is he was a soldier in Vietnam,
yep.
which they've updated to Iran, Afghanistan, etc. Yep.
Whatever the war is,
he's come back from that. He's having a picnic with his family in the park.
Yep.
There's a mob hit and everybody in his family is killed except him, and then he swears revenge.
Is the mob hit on him?
No, it's between two mobs,
yeah,
and
yeah.
they just get caught in the middle.
So some of that obviously remains.
Yeah, but and then so he's like, well, I'll just declare war on the mob.
Yeah.
But in this, there's way more layers. And you're saying maybe unnecessary?
I'm saying definitely unnecessary.
Okay.
Because he kind of looked like a buffoon as well. Like, he's just kind of like, what's happening? Who did this?
Right. Like, sure, okay.
You know? And yeah. I just think, why complicate something that is super not complicated? At least I didn't have a scene where his son hands him a shirt with a skull on it.
He says,
this will protect you, Dad.
And he's like, why would I possibly wear that?
Come on, get
why would I wear that while you're
I'm
alive?
I'm just a family man. I'm just a family man now.
Okay. Now, I see what you're saying. I appreciated the extra detail.
Okay.
Again, because it adds to this ambivalence of why... Mm. This man will continue to do this, especially once, you know, if this is a guy who wants to avenge his family,
yeah.
once that's done, why does he keep doing it?
Right.
And
okay.
I think they've added enough elements where you go, okay, well, maybe he would just continue this crusade forever.
Because he don't trust no one.
Yeah.
All in all, I will say best series ever.
Okay, yeah.
That being said, I want more bloody mysticism. I want to see something... It's a lot of just running around in the dark.
Yeah, I think if we get a season three of this,
yeah.
there's going to be more mysticism.
I want to see more mysticism. I want to see less bloody backstories of newspapers and lawyers.
Do you
want to
see more ninjas
stuff.
Or less? More ninjas. Fewer ninjas.
About okay. the same amount of ninjas is
okay.
fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
I would want to see fewer ninjas.
Yeah.
Or a whole bunch of ninjas that are dispatched in a way you dispatch a whole bunch of people if you have a really big gun.
Well,
you
let's bloody I mean? Get to that
let's
right now.
Let's get to that right now.
Spoilers. What?
Every promo of this with the Punisher has featured him wielding a minigun in a threatening manner. And if you don't know what a minigun is, it's one of those guns.
It's not as mini as you think.
It's not as mini as you think. It's called a minigun because it's the mini version of the gun they put on fighter planes. It's the one they hang it off a helicopter. It's got six barrels. It's got a lot of bullets.
If you've seen The Predator or The Terminator 2
yeah.
or another movie with a minigun.
And the rule is, if you see a man with a minigun.
Chekhov's minigun.
He'd better use that minigun by Act 3. And you know what? He doesn't.
Not only that, he goes into a room filled with guns
yep.
and a minigun.
And you see it. He looks at the minigun.
His hands, his fingers twitching.
Yeah. And then at the end, of like in the final episode, we see Daredevil and Elektra.
Yep.
They're in a building and they're like, there's 50 ninjas coming this way.
Yeah.
There's 50 ninjas coming this way. Let's go on the roof and deal with the 50 ninjas. Maybe we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And that whole fight, I'm like, they're going to get surrounded by ninjas.
Yep.
And they're going to be like, well, there's no way out. We're going to die. And the Punisher's going to show up on the rooftop and minigun everyone. And he doesn't. And you know what even happens? We see 50 ninjas like come up, like we see them coming up stairwells and approaching
yeah.
the building. When it comes to the actual fight on the rooftop, there isn't 50 ninjas.
No, there's like
12 ninjas.
18, yeah.
yeah. Maybe the Punisher minigunned them all off camera. But then maybe
not.
Daredevil would have heard that.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Anyway, in terms of, I had hoped to bring back our sometimes recurring segment, Meso's Minigun Minutes, where I talk for a minute about how good the minigun was in this film.
Yes.
Or TV series.
That's right.
Bad. Bad experience with a minigun in this series.
One of the worst?
One of the worst.
Yeah, worse than a CGI minigun.
Worse than a CGI minigun. Worse than a scene where there's a minigun and somebody's just spraying it wildly at a van or like the jungle or
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
and it never hits anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Worse than that because he never even fires it.
I think no minigun is better than a CGI minigun. With a CGI muzzle flash and CGI bullets. Yeah, and
okay.
Obviously, it's CGI bullets. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
People not getting cut in half and
I
whatever.
Even hope, because the action sequence ends, like that fight sequence, and I click the Netflix and it's like, oh, there's 8 minutes to go or something like that. And I hope there would be a scene where, like, another gang shows up in the city.
Yeah.
And they're like, now that these guys are dead, now the Irish are dead and the biker gangs will take care of it. And then the door just kicks in and the Punisher just miniguns everybody.
Yes.
But he doesn't. Boo!
Boo!
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable minigun behavior.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about...
There's nothing left to talk about, but all right.
Yes. Well, the Punisher's backstory, like, I know I mentioned that before. So, even wrapping my head around this, he was in the middle of a mob hit, which was also a DA undercover sting
operation, yeah.
But which was also, the whole thing was orchestrated by his colonel, who, they were after him because he's really the blacksmith, who's some kind of heroin dealer mob boss.
Yes.
And the Punisher is executed... intentionally or unintentionally?
I don't know.
Yeah. See what I'm talking about?
That may have actually been a coincidence.
Yeah, he was just pinged in the head.
Yeah.
So
Or it may have been a coincidence that he was there.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Right?
Exactly. And maybe that's something they're going to explore further, but it just...
I get the sense that because there's that sequence where the colonel is in the courtroom and he's like the Punisher, you know, not the Punisher. Frank Castle is the greatest man I've ever known.
I'm the guy from Highlander.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, he's the greatest man ever known and his bravery and blah, blah, blah. I feel maybe that was his way of going, you know, I'll get the Punisher out of this.
Yeah.
As sort of some sort of penance for getting him shot, his family killed in the first place.
Fair enough.
Thing. Like maybe to him, maybe it was a coincidence.
Yeah.
And now he's like, well, I'll somehow get him out of this and distance myself from it and we can both go our separate ways kind of thing.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Like, we don't really know.
Yeah, I mean,
like, for 13 episodes, it wasn't a very definitive kind of... It could have just been a coincidence that he was there. Maybe somebody explicitly said it, but he seemed like he was just on a picnic and there was a sting there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't fucking know, man. All right. The Billy Club. Love it.
Love it.
It's got a bloody grappling hook. He does a swing at one point. I want to see more of that in the future. More Billy Club swinging.
His mates come through again. What's his name?
Melvin. Melvin.
Melvin's come through
bloody
again.
Bloody gladiator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what else we saw? Season one, we were in Melvin's workshop. We see the stilt man legs.
Yeah.
This season, we see the stilt man legs and the stilt man torso.
Yes.
So by the end of season three, we'll have a fully assembled stilt man suit and Idris Elba can finally take his place.
Hashtag Idris the stilt man.
Thank
Idris
you.
The stilt man. Stilt man, yeah.
As stilt man, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely, it will be. How many people tweeted you the stilt man thing?
Not as many as you think. I think people were engrossed in the action.
Good stuff. I think the whole I like Karen Page.
Uh-huh.
I think the actress is really good. I think that genuinely she's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like they went, Ben Urich is dead because
we
choked him out last season.
We need a plucky journalist.
So it's just like, can she even write? Like, it's never kind of specified.
Well, she never really writes anything until right at the end.
Yeah, like, that's exactly it. She just kind of mopes around the office and she's on her own kind of Punisher investigation. Uh-huh. And I just don't think...
I think she did quite well, though. Because that speech at the end, she was writing that speech.
Yeah, I'm not saying she can't do it, but like, why would he give her that job? And not only, I guess she was friends with Ben.
Yeah.
But I just felt that whole story was
just... Don't you know a journalist, though?
Yeah.
And he...
You
know a journalist.
I do.
And he did a lot of crime reporting.
Yes.
And what was his job before that?
Fruiterer.
And why did he get the job?
Well, I can't go into specifics.
Okay.
But basically, he knew a guy... who I knew.
Yes.
Who got killed. And I'm not going to go into any more
detail. By organized crime.
Yeah, maybe. It's.
So your friend is the Karen Page of real life. And you're saying that Karen Page is unrealistic.
No, I'm not saying it's unrealistic. I'm saying it's... Yeah, okay, sure. But I'm also saying it's unnecessary.
Okay,
by the way, that's as vague as I'm going to get. I'm not getting any more specific on that story. But that story is just completely nothing. Like, why are you doing it?
I was in like... The Punisher's a man, and he's like all
and
of
the,
us.
And the
he
article at the end
was to be happy.
Yeah,
but
the article at the end
got,
was like
his family got machine gun, like all of us.
What a crap article! It was just like, you know, if you look in the mirror, you're a hero. You don't have to be a guy flying to be a hero.
That was a bit vague.
Because it's bloody Hell's Kitchen, and
We're all heroes.
Look, you're just people who live somewhere. We all bloody live somewhere. It's not a big deal, all right?
Like, yeah, but New York.
That's
the
true.
Worst part of New York.
Well, it was, but apparently it's very nice now.
Yeah.
But I guess this is in the timeline where the Chitauri invasion happened.
Yeah.
And Ultron.
And that dropped all kinds of land values.
I bet. Yeah. And bloody Ultron probably kicked over a bunch of shit. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Foggy, fine. He did really good at lawyering.
Yeah, he did.
But again, why are you such a big baby about Matt Murdock not turning up to things?
That's true.
Like, why don't you understand that he's out at night fighting ninjas while you're getting drunk in a bar? You idiot.
Good point.
Like, cut that's him some his, bloody
that's
slack.
That's your leisure time. That's his leisure time.
Exactly.
Just let it go. But again, Foggy doesn't show up late. I feel if one person you know, if you're a regular person and you know your friend is a superhero,
right.
I feel you should meet halfway.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You should accept that they're going to be out superheroing, but your superhero friend should also accept that maybe he should do his best.
What if someone's been stabbed? What if, say you're a superhero,
what
right?
What if the law's being stabbed metaphorically?
But say you're...
What if justice is being stabbed? What if Lady Justice is being stabbed right in the butt by crime?
But if you're a superhero, right, and you're late for the podcast,
yeah.
And I'm angry, say you're like at 3 hours late, oh, I don't know, and then you're like, there's someone I know got stabbed.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to be like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's
like,
true. All right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
I'd be like, who was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. I don't like that guy.
Mm.
So, yeah.
That's a very good point, actually.
Stunt-wise, I just want to get into this. There's a bit at the end where she fights, Elektra fights a Frenchman.
Oh, yes?
And you can see it's clearly...
Is he someone significant? Because I didn't recognize him. Jacques Duchamp.
Yeah, he's... There was a character called Duchamp.
Yes.
But it's not him.
Okay.
I don't think it's him. I nearly put in my Easter egg video, but I didn't.
A lot of people, because you don't get his name initially, because it was in an airport, a lot of people assumed he was Frenchy, who was Moon Knight's pilot.
Right, right, right.
And confidant.
Maybe he was.
I don't think he was.
Probably not, because he's dead too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's a bit where you see his wig kind of flopping around when it's not him. So, you know, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Stunt's
you have
really
excellent
good.
Wigdar though. Your Wigdar is a lot better than most people.
My Wigdar's second to none.
So.
You know that's true. Mm-hmm. The costume Elektra, you know, I was talking about at the end when she's dead.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. She's in that weird.
Oh, they wrap her up in robes, kind of thing,
and it looks like a red silky kind of.
Oh, I see. That
outfit.
Makes sense. Right. Okay.
I'm doing.
No,
it.
I get it. Yeah.
You understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, and after it turns out that she is the Black Sky.
Yeah.
Which is a what?
Nothing. No, it's nothing, I don't think. I think it is, like, we assumed it was going to be some sort of big bioweapon or, like,
well,
a magical thing.
Well, in the first season, it's like a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they have a Black Sky, because I guess there's a few of them.
And he's got some sort of metahuman power.
Maybe.
Know, yeah. Uh-huh.
Stick just wants to go kill him.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Maybe he does, I can't remember.
Maybe he's more of, because also, in this season, we get the kids that are being drained of their blood, and then they get
refilled
with something, and then they get their blood taken out again. Clearly, that is powering that resurrection machine.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, she's coming back.
Yeah,
like there's.
I mean, comic book Elektra has died and come back.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. What do you what do you think of the idea of a resurrection machine in Marvel?
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Especially because it's a very specific...
There you go.
You have to have a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It would only work on certain people, I'd imagine.
And if you get your head chopped off,
it
probably won't work.
Probably won't work on you again.
Mm-hmm.
So, but all these... I didn't like the way that it was... It wasn't mystic enough.
Okay.
And now I'm looking forward to Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Because I want to see more bloody mysticism. I want to see less bloody fights in alleys and on rooftops.
Do you think they're going to go full mystical with Iron Fist?
I bloody hope so.
Because
I don't
Iron
think
Fist
they will.
Was trained in like the mystical city of Kunlun, which is like, it doesn't exist in our universe kind of thing. It's like in a pocket dimension.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to do any of that?
I think they'll do a variation on it. But I would like to see an ancient city of some description. Like, I know it's all this is ground level superheroes in Hell's Kitchen and whatever. Like, I know that.
Uh-huh.
But don't you think this is going to get a bit bloody samey when every year or every 6 months we're going to get 13 episodes of people trudging around an alley and getting attacked by ninjas.
What I hope for is that every season we're going to have the Punisher show up with a promo image of him with some exotic weapon that he never uses. That'll just build my rage every few months. Oh, he's got a flamethrower. I wonder who he's going to blast with a flamethrower.
He's riding that nuclear bomb with a cowboy hat. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god, he's got a flamethrower and all the bad guys are running through a cornfield. Oh, there's like 100 bad guys running through that cornfield. Oh, he's gonna blast the cornfield with a flamethrower. They're all gonna go up. Oh, they just went through the cornfield and they jumped into a lake. He can't get them now. Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, more mysticism and okay. more explained mysticism.
Okay,
yeah. I think they shouldn't be afraid to be like, because they were kind of like, people get resurrected. And yeah. then they didn't really explain
That's
it.
That's true, they didn't, yeah.
Yeah, so more of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I thought was odd, but I'm okay with it?
Yes.
Whenever Daredevil needs it, there's always a length of pipe or a bit of metal on the ground that he can, like, club a guy with.
Hey, it's New York, man.
That's true.
Yeah.
But really kind
of... Speaking of, and this was tweeted to me within 5 minutes of the series starting
by
a whole bunch of people, that there is... A woman does get the amazing honor of being
the hey asshole,
a character in New York who bumps into another character and goes, hey asshole, which again is my dream role, to be in anything.
That's right.
I get to yell hey asshole at somebody.
If you're listening, somebody, anybody who's
making
anything.
If you're a casting agent of some kind.
That's all you want. Yeah. Do you want to do it New York style?
Ideally, if I could do it New York style in New York, that would be great because that is the home of hey asshole.
It certainly is.
But
yeah.
I guess I could do it anywhere.
Yeah, you could do it anywhere. Yeah.
But I mean, that's the home of, like, Hollywood rudeness in a city. Is you go to New York, you're on the run from something like a murderer. Yeah.
Or maybe you're just walking a blind man, which is what this was.
Yeah. Like, you're obviously at some sort of disadvantage.
Yeah.
You bump somebody who does not care and calls you an asshole. I love it. So good.
Luke Cage teaser. Apparently it plays afterwards, but I just went on YouTube.
No, I went the whole way through and it
didn't play. Not okay, there you go. No. Yeah, I mean, it's only...
Again, I went all the way through the credits hoping for somebody to get minigunned, and nobody did.
I can't believe you're so okay with this season after there was no minigunning. I feel like you're happy with it that you should.
Maybe we'll get some. Look, I'm hoping for like a Marvel one shot.
Right.
That they release.
They talked about bringing them back, actually.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, yeah. I saw everything this week about it.
I say we start a campaign to bring them back.
Just for the minigun
one. Just for the minigun
one. And
then
cancel it again.
You know what I hope for is maybe a Marvel one shot and we think it's going to be the origin of some villain. They're like, finally, we're going to get this character. And then they show up, they have their origin and. Frank kicks the door and just miniguns them. And they do like four in a row.
There seems like there is a guy.
Or maybe they do. We call it Punisher Roulette.
Yeah.
Right? And basically, there's like four villains that are going to, like, maybe that'll make their origin in the Marvel Universe.
Yep.
And we vote on all of them. You don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
And then they release the four one shots and Frank Castle miniguns three of them and one survives.
That would be incredible. Yeah, there should be a moment in every one of them where they turn towards the door.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a
pause. Yeah, absolutely.
And then the minigun. Except there's that one where there's a pause and then they just go. Anyway, because there's no minigun.
Yeah.
But maybe there's one to fake out where then they get miniguns.
Oh, so good.
There's so many possibilities. Oh. Bring back the minigun one shot.
That's right.
Or invent the minigun one shot.
Please.
Man. Do you think we're going to get these Daredevil guys showing up in Civil War for one?
Yeah.
Probably not. But what do you think?
Like Daredevil? Are we going to see Daredevil? Yeah. No, we're not.
What about in Infinity War?
Yes.
I think almost certainly.
I think we're going to have to...
They're being pretty cagey. Luke cagey.
I think we're going to have the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy in space doing Infinity War stuff.
Yeah.
And then I think we're going to have Mayhem on Earth.
Right.
And we're going to have the Defenders...
Of the Earth.
Of the Earth.
Theme song for the Defenders of the Earth. Defenders of the Earth. Defenders. Out of the sky, his rockets ignite. Gets into battle like faster than light. Flash Gordon, Lord of the Jungle, the hero who stalks. The beasts call him brother, the gods to war. Phantom, Defenders of the Earth. Defenders.
Dun dun. And we're going to have them on Earth, New York style, protecting everybody in New York.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Good stuff.
What do you think of Wilson Fisk appearing in this?
Oh, great.
Mm.
He's a big, he looks like a big baby in his big onesie,
doesn't he? Yeah, big baby in his onesie.
Looks like a big egg-headed baby. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's less kind of like a big baby in this than he was in the last season.
That's true.
Where he's kind of like, my dad.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I think it was the right blend of like being a gentleman and just incredible menace.
And also
beating people to death. Yeah.
Being a gentleman and beating up a blind man.
Yeah, those things.
Do you think he's on to Matt Murdock?
Probably because he does say...
Get all the Matt Murdock files.
He doesn't say get all the Daredevil files. He says Matt Murdock files. So I think he's figured it out.
That Daredevil's Matt Murdock.
Yes.
Because he took that bloody punch.
Yeah. I think that Matt Murdock did play that really well.
Like he kind of stumbled out and didn't, was like, kind of, don't
Yeah, he could have, again, he's a guy in a prison cell.
Yeah.
Like, and again, this is Wilson fit and he doesn't have the armored suit and he doesn't have all the et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I think Daredevil could have taken him.
Yes.
But he didn't.
Yeah, but he didn't. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I liked that a lot.
Real good.
What do you think about Matt Murdock's flashback hair?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, good.
It's very kind of.
Yeah, it's yeah. Do you think that was real hair, or do you think that was a wig?
I think that was real, just flattened out.
Okay, great.
Look, I am an expert, but you are an expert. Have been wrong before. They give him an increasingly series of dumb glasses in flashbacks.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, which is Stick came back.
Yeah, he did.
The guy who's not Lance Hendrickson
or David Carradine.
Yeah, what's his name?
Don't know.
Bloody hell, I should know that. I'm gonna look it up. Daredevil.
Hey Siri, who plays Stick in Daredevil?
I don't like the way you're doing this. Scott Glenn.
Damn it!
Ha!
Siri doesn't. It's your Wi-Fi. I blame your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it's been really terrible today. Maybe get off my bloody Wi-Fi then.
All right, fine.
Yeah, what do you think about Stick's vague war?
It's a bit vague, isn't it?
He's just kind of building an army.
He's just kind of a jerk generally.
Yeah.
I'm glad he got all those sticks under his fingernails.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just spill the beans, you idiot.
Yeah.
Spill the beans, be specific. People are dying.
Yeah, that's right.
Just say, the black sky is this.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's going to be a bloody... And then he was like, don't go fight the ninjas on the rooftop.
Is the black sky... Is it part of a prophecy?
Again, I don't know. Like, all of this like... It's too vague.
Right.
It's not mystic enough. Like, go for mysticism or don't, like, at this point. Uh-huh. You've done a season of vague mysticism.
Yeah.
Madame Gao punched Daredevil across the room and then she showed up for like a minute in this.
That's true.
Like, what are we building towards here?
I think at this point we're going to have to because, again, it is a world of crazy superheroes and what have
you.
We're gonna have to go through that barrier at some point.
I think
this is a good level... Like, of easing everybody into it?
Yeah, well, I think...
You think it should be more? No,
I think it will be. Now, I just had this thought that we're getting Doctor Strange this year.
Yeah.
And after that, then they
all
can
bets
go,
are off.
Boom.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
On. So maybe that's what they're kind of waiting for. Mm-hmm. The way that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can set no trends. So, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're doing amazing things over at ABC. It's
unlikely.
Luke Cage is next.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it?
Yes.
I like that guy a lot. Yeah. So I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit disappointed with the season. It didn't drag.
Uh-huh.
Well, sometimes it did. But I just, not enough Daredevil-ing.
Okay.
I want more Matt Murdock.
We didn't really get in depth into the action sequences.
Right.
There are some amazing ones.
Yeah, definitely.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about comic book characters we'd like to turn into R-rated movies.
Yes.
We brought up Moon Knight.
Yes.
Because there is the Warren Ellis storylines, like the start of the reboot of Moon Knight.
Yeah.
There's an amazing sequence where he goes up a tenement building and he fights a whole bunch of people.
It's great.
To get to the roof. And there is it episode 3 or 4, maybe, of this one?
Yeah.
He does it in reverse.
He does. He goes down a
bloody... So there's the sequence where he's going to take the Punisher down in the lift.
Yeah.
And then the lift doors are closing.
Yeah.
And then we see the bad guys hassling the old man, like they're going to beat up this old man. And he's like, all right, well, I'm not going down in the lift. The Punisher's going down in the lift. I'm not. I'm going to fight all these guys. And then he has to commit to fighting every single person all the way down. I thought that was great. Again, because the Punisher was like, you're never going to do this. Like, there's no way out of this.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll prove you
wrong.
I'll
bloody do it.
And then
he bloody does it.
Amazing. I love that.
Did you? Oh,
I'm going to go back and rewatch that.
That just that
right
sequence.
Now.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. All right, see you later.
Okay.
Okay. No, not really.
Not on my Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Did you like the Daredevil Punisher roof stuff? It's from that comic. I think it's a choice.
Oh, where he ties him up and he ties the gun to his head. Yeah, that's straight out of the comic. That worked. That was really good.
Do you like how the Punisher shot Daredevil in the head?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Do you think he knew that wasn't... I think he knew he wasn't going to kill him.
Oh, maybe. What I thought was initially a bit weird about that character, I felt he seemed like there was too much glee when he shot him in the head, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to like this character.
Yeah,
maybe he didn't intend to kill him.
Yeah, I don't think he did, because I think he's even said, he mentions it after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. If he wanted to kill him, he probably would.
Yeah.
Because I mean, maybe the Glee was like, look at this idiot in his devil costume. Yeah. I'll get him out of the picture kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll just scramble his brains.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
I did find that bit really terrifying where Matt Murdock's hearing disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing became of it. I thought that was going to happen more through the season.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like it would kind of go in.
I think it was just a concussion. That
yeah, yeah. Probably when he was shot in the head.
Yeah, probably because of the bullet to the head.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Is that all we're going to say? I feel like there's probably more to this than 13 hours because it's considering it's 13 episodes.
But yeah, yeah.
What do you say about a show, Mason?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. What is the... So we got the Luke Cage teaser. What is he doing? Because he has to go from bar owner to hero for hire.
Yes.
How is that happening, do you think?
He's probably just moved next door. Probably a little office.
Probably a little office, little bounty hunting office.
Well, his bar exploded.
So he doesn't have a bar anymore. Yeah. That's true, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's just looking for work.
Yeah. We did watch that teaser. And he's getting riddled with bullets. And I'm like, I wonder how much clothing he goes through. And then he's like, I'm sick of people shooting holes through my clothes. And
Mason, like, he turns directly to camera.
He turned direct to me, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, no, cool.
Imagine the Punisher shoots Luke Cage with a minigun.
That would be incredible.
I just watch
and Luke Cage is surrounded by ninjas, so it's just pinging off
him. Mate. I just watch a VFX reel of just that. Just Luke Cage being shot with a minigun. That'd be so good.
I don't know if he's that... Could he survive a minigun?
Because
he takes that shotgun blast to the head.
Oh, and that does him some damage, doesn't it? Maybe, yeah, maybe not.
It'd probably stumble.
Oh, yeah.
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 Especially if you hit him in the balls.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That'll do it.
Hopes and dreams. Daredevil in the future.
Oh, yeah, more magic stuff.
More.
Where can we go with that? Like,
I'd like to see him travel the world a bit. I know he's based in Hell's Kitchen, but...
He's from New York. He lives New York.
I know, but...
He comes to New York. He's in New York. It's in his blood. New York's in his blood. You can't leave.
Which comic...
You belong to New York.
Which comic arc is he where he goes to France or something? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway.
He goes to France and he's like, where's little New York? Where's the New York district?
I just want to see... Like, maybe he goes to Asia and there's some mysticism.
Oh, sure.
Shit.
That'd be great. Right, yeah.
Maybe, okay. You know, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
I'd like to see him fist fight with Iron Fist.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty amazing, right?
That would be amazing. Yeah. Who's bloody taking out bins out there?
I don't know.
Some idiot's forgotten to take their bins out.
What an idiot.
I've done it.
Yeah, good.
I've done it already.
All right.
All right. Let's do the latest segment of the show.
Wait, don't we have another segment?
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's do the What We Reading start.
We can do it in any way you want.
I don't think we can.
Okay, great.
I'd have to... Well, it's about the same level of editing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And you got to be ready, remember? You got to be on... Because we're seeing how quickly you can get that bloody...
That's right.
Theme up. But no, we're going to do What We Read In.
Oh, yeah. What We're Going to Read.
I'm doing the theme. What are we reading today?
Pretty good. What are you reading this week?
I'm watching a thing.
Yes.
I've started watching Friday Night Lights,
uh-huh.
Which is a show from 2007. It's Taylor Kitsch, and he's really, really good, actually. Because
uh-huh.
I've made a proclamation once that Taylor Kitsch is the acting equivalent of a horse filled with bees.
Great.
But like you put him in your movie and you're like, what a great actor. It's like you put a horse in a race and you're like, what a great horse. And then you poke it and it's filled with bees and it ruins your horse race.
Uh-huh.
Or movie.
No, I disagree completely. Imagine you're a guy and you bet on the ponies every week.
Sure.
And you do that and you're like, oh, he's another race. Who cares? I'm just looking at my betting slip and my numbers, and then somebody pokes that horse and it's filled with bees and everybody gets attacked by bees. Wouldn't that brighten up your day a bit?
I think you'd be like...
Unless you bet on that horse.
Exactly. Or any of the other horses. Oh, they would have scratched the race, wouldn't they?
Uh-huh.
And you're out for the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's really good. I've sold that guy short because he's also good in True Detective season 2, but that's not a great season, but he's good in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's the only odd thing about it. It's weird that I like American football shows and movies, even though I have no concept of what the sport is,
right?
Other than people just running into each other.
I mean, it's weird that our versus episodes are set on an American football field when we've never set foot on an American
That's very
field.
True. But it has got that old 90s TV trope of all the teenagers are like enormous 35-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like everybody.
Yeah.
And when you see a real teenager in it, you're like, whoa. Like,
sure, yeah, yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Like kind of thing. Yeah, but it's kind of uplifting and depressing, and it's a bloody roller coaster of small town emotions.
Ugh.
But yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna read two things. Mm. I'm like one page into a novel, an actual novel. I'm bloody reading it. It's called the First 15 Lives of Harry August.
Yes,
and it's the plot sounds a bit Edge of Tomorrow. Basically, it's about a guy called Harry August.
Yes.
And he lives his life. Mm. And then when he when he reaches the end of his life and he dies, he returns to life as a child, but he has perfect memory of what happened to him in that life.
Right,
and so
right.
he moves through life again.
Yeah.
Like, and he also encounters other people who have this ability as well.
Right,
and they're,
right,
in, they're in like a club called the Kronos Club.
Right.
And then there are all these people who are living their life over again. It's and again, I'm only kind of like a couple of pages into it, but it seems a bit Edge of Tomorrow, but
that
it's kind of more fun and whimsical.
Cool. So, yeah. What's it called? Harry August.
The First 15 Lives of Harry August.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And does he die different ways each time, I assume?
Well, I don't know. I'm only a couple of pages in.
Tell
if
me.
You have read that, let me know how it goes. No spoilers. Know. Not at, you.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Oh.
At Wikipedia Brown. Brown.
Just, just let me know what it's like. Yeah. No spoilers.
No spoilers. Yeah, okay. Some spoilers. You can spoil it.
Goodreads says it's very good. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And Goodreads hates everyone.
That's so true.
Also, what I'm reading.
You're reading two things, you said.
Well, I'm not really reading it, but Melbourne Comedy Festival starts this coming week.
Yeah.
Melbourne International
Your favourite time of the year.
My favourite time of the year.
Yeah.
If you're in Melbourne.
I am.
Not you. Mm. Although you. See some shows is my recommendation.
Yeah.
My recommendation is always, because a lot of people, A, don't know comedy festivals on, and B, just go to one show.
Right,
yeah. It's like 400 different acts on. So my tip for you is go see somebody you know, like a big name.
Yeah.
And then before or after that, just
a
take
big a big shot.
Yeah, big shot. Yeah. And just take a chance on somebody you don't know. And so this, I might recommend like one person every week.
Excellent.
Of the 4 weeks. This week, I'm going to recommend
a
friend of mine.
Yeah.
Very funny comedian, host of the podcast Pop Quiz Hot Shot.
And Michael.
And It's a Duck Blur.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
podcast that's about Duck Blur, about DuckTales for some reason.
Yeah.
That's not what it's called. But Michael Williams, my friend Michael Williams, he's doing a show this year called An Evening with Michael Williams, Who is Trapped Under a Boulder. So he's doing an hour of stand-up whilst trapped under a boulder. He's a very yeah, exactly, right?
That's very
sells
good.
Itself.
It really does. What kind of boulder? It's like a paper mache. You'll have to go see, I guess.
Maybe the boulder talks to him. You don't know. Maybe he's a funny little boulder.
Are you the boulder?
No, I'm not the boulder. I have nothing to do with the show. But it's the first 2 weeks of the festival, so it's the 24th of March till the 3rd of April.
Every night?
Not Mondays.
Not Mondays?
Yeah. But it's at, hang on, I've got some details. 9:45 at Trades Hall.
Right.
And what you probably, if you've listened to the podcast, I've been on a couple of his, if you haven't seen him before, he's very funny on a podcast, but he also, when you see him live, he does a lot of visual stuff.
Right.
Like a lot of visual gags, a lot of animation, there's cartoons, there's graph jokes. I know you love graph jokes.
I'm not familiar with graph jokes.
You know, jokes but with graphs.
No, I know what a graph is, okay, but right. I've never seen
Anyway,
one.
He's great. He's one of my favorite, I try to see him every festival.
Yeah.
Also, if you're going to book tickets, you go to comedyfestival.com.au, you input the code DUCKBLUR, one word, 2-for-1 tickets.
2-for-1?
2-for-1 tickets!
You can get 2 tickets for 1.
Yeah.
I get ya.
That's how it works. You get it.
That sounds great.
Anyway, go to that show. There's also heaps of others. Steel Saunders is doing some live shows.
He is, yeah. He's doing a couple, he's doing the Star Wars ones, and he's doing the Green Guide ones.
Yeah,
totally. He's doing the Star Wars one every Saturday?
Every Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not sure about the Green Guide one, so, but bloody check him out. And you might be going to one of those, mightn't you? Is that right?
I'll be at everything.
No, I mean, you might be on...
Oh, he hasn't asked.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, he mentioned that to me. That he, oh, no, maybe. Have you done something? Did you murder his family?
I murdered his whole family.
That's probably why I didn't mention it again, do you? Yeah. Great. Well, let's do some letters.
Let's do letters. Oh, God. Oh, no. What's it? No. Wait.
I'm not going anywhere.
We're doing this. Look, we're doing it.
Might have this.
How are we
going to
do it, please? Look, We have fun on the show, don't we? Maybe I can recommend some other stuff.
Do you have anything else?
No. Letters on. Classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. Hang on, they're here right now, we're going to do letters. Somebody tweeted at me.
Seamless.
Somebody tweeted at me, hey, why don't you get the MP3 of that and put it on your phone so you don't have to...
Load it every time.
And put it through the Wi-Fi. Where's the challenge?
That's a
My
good
challenge
point.
Is to find it on YouTube and get it up super quick, smart, and one day I'll nail it. Anyway, we're doing letters.
Here we go.
Email letters at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com or hashtag theweeklyplanet on Twitter.
That's right. That's probably the better way to do it because I normally do 2 tweets and 1 Gmail.
Nice.
Here we go. This is from @DarthVanquish. After Apocalypse in 2016 and Darkseid in 2017, will Thanos feel like a retread? in 2018.
Oh, because they're all like weird purple-faced men.
We said it's the era of the weird grayish-blue hulking gray guy. Yeah.
That is a good question.
Well, I don't think this apocalypse compares
no,
to
so it'll just
those.
Be like, is Thanos going to be a weird retread of Darkseid?
Yes.
I mean, he is a weird retread of Darkseid because he is a copy of, yeah. of that character in essence.
Quite literally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know what? I think they see. I feel they're going like Josh Brolin's portrayal of Thanos is just kind of like this weird laid back dude.
Hey, get me that glove that I have.
Yeah, whatever.
Where's that stone that need?
I think they're gonna go. Darkseid is gonna be again. It's DC versus Marvel. DC are clearly going with everything is the end of the universe and everything's very serious,
somber and real.
And Marvel is going with we're just having a little fun, like. The end of Age of Ultron? Like
the Marvel are toying with us with their mini guns and
exactly.
And the like.
But the end of Age of Ultron, like the vault opens and Thanos is there and just like fine, I'll do it myself.
Bloody,
and he puts the Infinity Gauntlet on. Like I don't think people are gonna really even conflate the two. I think they're just gonna be like.
I think people on the internet will.
Yeah.
At comicbookmovie.com in the comments.
There'll be a lot of articles about, did you know that Thanos is the copy of the thing and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. He's
not
a copy of the thing. He's a copy of Darkseid.
So what's the thing a copy of?
Rocks. Just
the one
bag.
That Michael Williams is trapped under.
Yes, exactly.
Good Lord.
Yeah. No, I don't think we're going
to
be...
I'd like to think with that show, like he really did get trapped under a rock and they just built
the show around him. He's like, I wish I had a theme for this year's show. Oh, no. Oh, yes.
So, yeah, you don't think it's going to be a problem?
No. I don't think people are going to...
I don't think not so as much now either that we've seen Apocalypse and it's just kind of like a dude.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, we'll see. Unless he turns into a big hulking grayish-blue guy. We'll have to wait and see. We got tweeted this literally hundreds of times.
Yes.
At Kieran Brennan B is one of them. Brenab. What do you guys think about the Sausage Party trailer?
Oh, sure. That turns out to actually be real.
Yes.
It's a real movie.
So it's Seth Rogen and like James Franco and I think Amy Poehler and... Oh, maybe,
or sort of...
Maybe
yeah.
It's not Amy Poehler.
All the regulars. Jonah Hill.
And
David Krumholtz.
It's like a...
From Numbers.
That's right. It's a weird Numbers...
In his element.
Yes. It's a weird... It's a weird Toy Story-esque universe where food is alive.
I thought it was going to be some real bad CG, but it looks very good.
Yeah, it does.
It is very good. It is very good at pretending to be a DreamWorks film until horrible stuff starts happening. I imagine a lot of people were like tricked into putting their kids in front of it immediately. Like they're like, oh, it's sausage, but everybody should watch this. And they click it and they're like, and it's like, you know, welcome to the supermarket or whatever. And they put their kids in front of it.
Yeah.
And then, murderous
bang,
stuff happens.
Murderous.
Yeah,
there's some really creative use of like violence in this.
Uh-huh.
Like there's that Saving Private Ryan-esque moment where like the cup of noodles is spilt and all the guts
are hanging out.
And there's the Oreo who picks up his like the back of him.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, because it's fallen off or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it looks okay.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's our opinion of that, isn't it?
Isn't it though, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Will you see it at the cinema? Do you think the R-rated comedy is back? I hope so, because there's only so much PG 13.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Garbage.
There's only so much Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn in a car listening to Macklemore that I can take, and that being a sweet gag or whatever. I know that was years ago. That's the first one I could think of.
Oh, man.
That's the point that I stopped even watching the trailers. So
that's the best reference I have at this point. No, that's fair enough. Yeah. It's probably the Google movie, right?
That was the Google movie, yeah.
Sure. Great. Yeah. I got a letter here, though.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Nick and James, long-time listener, first-time writer. As a regular visitor... Yeah, apparently.
First time he's ever written
Well
anything.
Done.
Well done.
As a regular visitor to the cinema to see movies you want and don't want to see, I'm interested to see what your opinion is on the screening room idea and whether you think it'll work. As someone who... I'll break that down what that is in a minute, but I know you know, but I don't know, so I'll break it down.
Okay, great.
For me. As somebody who lives in the middle of nowhere, Wales, my nearest... In a whale? Oh, man, we have some good jokes on this show, don't we?
We do, don't we? What is it? Is it bloody Jonah? Is that who you are?
You're bloody Pinocchio, mate?
You're bloody...
Those characters in the Finding Nemo movie? You go inside the whale?
Gulliver, was he trapped in a whale at some point?
I think he was trapped in that Jack Black movie, whatever. Was that?
Oh, yeah.
Wales.
Wales.
My nearest cinema is a good half-hour drive away on the motorway, so it's not always feasible feasible for me to see a movie regularly because of the distance, and then some of the movies just aren't shown there. I think it's a good idea for families and people who don't like the cinema and will be able to see movies when they come out instead of waiting for them to be released on DVD/Blu-ray. Give up the good work talking about comics and movies and TV and games every week. It's from James. Now, okay, so what this is, it's a box called The Screening Room or something.
Yep.
Working title, where it's $150. It's like your digital set-top box or a DVD player kind of S kind of thing. And then you install that in your home. And then for $50 per movie, you can rent a new release movie. And I'm not talking like Blu-ray. I'm talking like
what
is currently out at the cinema. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is this has been started by Napster. What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Justin
Timberlake.
Yeah. What's his bloody name? Right, Sean Parker.
Okay.
Is that right?
Maybe.
Siri, can you hear me?
Hang on.
Siri, it's me, James.
Siri, who founded Napster? She's thinking. Sean Fanning? Sean Parker.
That's what I said.
Yeah, whatever.
Thanks for nothing, Siri.
Wow. Don't listen to him, Siri.
And so yeah, he's one of the founders, and it's backed by Ron Howard, J.J. Abrams, Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, Peter Jackson, and Taylor Hackford. And there has been interest from studios like Universal.
Well, like Taylor Hack director. I don't know what he's done.
I think he did Ray movie.
More like Hack director. No, that's fine.
I haven't seen it. There has been some interest from studios like Universal and Fox, but no one signed on. And the idea is with that $50, you cut in the distributor, and the cinema. Also, this is anti-piracy proof.
We do have some good jokes in this show. And piracy proof.
Okay, but let's just address that. Anything you can play on a screen can be pirated.
Anything you can see and hear, you can pirate.
Especially if it's in your home.
Yeah. Just put the screen up. In fact, if it's in your home, it's because if somebody cams in the cinema, they have to put it under their coat and kind of move it an angle, and they have to put it between seats in between other viewers or whatever. In this, you could literally set up like a frame around your television and put like a super high quality digital video camera like on the frame.
Yeah.
Just perfectly frame this thing and just copy it directly.
And especially if you've got a high definition television or a projector, of course that's going to come out perfectly. And you could capture the sound. So crisp.
Crisp but
multiple
clear.
Microphones. Not only that, if you've got a video game capture card, which I do.
Nice.
And I never use it. Mm-hmm. But you can drag anything off anything.
Yeah.
I guess the only way that I could think that this could possibly work, and this wouldn't even work, is that if you'd somehow put some kind of hidden code in the file that's specific to your account.
Right.
And if you copied it, then that could be traced back to you and you would get fined or punched in the balls.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
Definitely
punched in the balls.
But even then, I cannot see. I mean, Sean Parker invented Napster, which invented pirating music.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
No, it didn't. It made it easy.
It
perfected pirating music.
But it definitely perfected it, yeah.
So him of all people should know that nothing is piracy proof.
Well, exactly. And also, I see where you're going with, like, the idea of like this coding encoding thing.
Yeah.
But what would happen is the first person to get caught doing that, they would sort of word would get around how they got caught.
Yes.
Maybe around the edge of the frame, there's like a sequence of moving pixels or something like
sure,
that.
Yeah.
And if you can see those, like on the pirated copy, put it through some computer and interpret it and see who copied it.
Mm-hmm.
But then everybody would learn that you just have to crop in your frame like a pixel, and then you're not
exactly
it's invisible again.
That's exactly
or
right.
Or you could just have some sort of weird color filter that goes through the whole screen, and then nobody's watching it.
And not only that, you could just set up a fake account, and then they'd never track you down.
Yeah, but also maybe it's an issue of
if this piracy measure that we made up is to be believed.
Exactly. I guess in the sense that the reason a lot of people pirate things is because it's just easier than downloading things.
Yes.
Which is why Napster eventually died and iTunes rose up.
Yeah.
Because with iTunes, you go, I really want that song, I really want that TV show, I really want that movie. Mm. One click and you've got it.
Yeah.
And it's,
you know, you don't even know money changes
exactly,
hands.
Exactly. It's digital. The money's digital. Yeah. You can't see it. So you just go, fine. And then
whatever.
In 2 minutes, you've got it and you can watch it immediately.
I want that Macklemore song from that Vince Vaughn movie.
You know I do. right.
Yeah, absolutely. So on that level, yeah. So you're saying that if it's made easy, people won't pirate it.
And also,
but people will pirate this, though. If it's first-run movies, if, say, Batman Superman, which is coming out this week,
yeah,
of course that's going to get pirated.
That's true. But also what I feel is that it might be a case of, if it's, you know, was it $50 to download a...
$50 for 48 hours.
For 48 hours. I reckon if you got 10 friends in...
Yeah, exactly.
Or it might... People,
I think,
might,
that's the idea.
Yeah, or people might even do it as like a viewing party.
Yeah, that's,
you
know,
and
exactly,
you say,
right,
everybody bring $5 and we can watch this first run movie in our house and we'll have a party or whatever. Like a kind of a...
I'm not against this idea.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it would actually work in reality. As in, I don't know if major studios and cinema chains would... Because they're already coming out trying to stomp this.
Yeah, okay.
Of course they are. Because if I could go to, like, I don't have a massive sound system or whatever, or set up or anything. Not even in this luscious regular room that we sit in.
No, I understand, sure.
But most movies I would just go, well, I'll just watch it at home.
Yeah.
Most movies. Not all movies. Like, the big ones, obviously, I would go.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, no, I wouldn't go to the cinema.
Huh.
I mean, maybe that's just me. What about you?
Look, again, I've tried to embrace the cinema these days. So I'm like,
you get a little pizza.
I go in there, I get a little pizza, I get a big popcorn, I get a big drink.
Yeah.
I need to pee for the last 2/3 of the film.
Wouldn't be a problem if you did it at home.
That's true, yeah.
Mm. Maybe not mostly. Maybe half, let's say.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a luxury item for people who have an enormous...
Don't know how to pirate.
Don't know how to pirate things and already... have an enormous TV system, like a cinema-sized TV screen, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I can understand that. Do you think it's going to take off, though?
No, not for $50.
Yeah.
Again, because a lot of people who have, again, the giant TV screen and the amazing sound system aren't going to have a million people to come over and and watch, you know, for the $50.
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Because, you know, if it's you and your partner, or, you know, just you and yourself.
Your dog.
You need a dog. Are you gonna want to pay?
She's asleep. Shh.
Oh, okay, sorry. Should we continue doing the podcast?
We'll take it outside. Okay.
Okay, we're outside. It's real cold. Are you gonna want to pay $50 for one ticket or $25 for two tickets?
Yeah.
Is that worth it, kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Fair point.
I reckon if it's got no install problems, if you just plug it in your HDMI port and that's it.
Yeah.
And
why isn't it an app?
Maybe there is an app.
Sounds like it's a box that you buy for $150. Like, I'm going to stack another box under my TV.
True.
I mean, I've only got two, but...
An app would actually work better because...
Yes, it would. You could update it.
And the app store is more secure than...
But if you... No, because if you go through... Say you go through iTunes, and I know this is why Comixology changed to...
Amazon.
You purchase them.
Oh, right.
You purchase them in the browser
or
on your phone or on your computer, and then you download to the app, because if you buy it directly through the app, iTunes get half of the...
I see.
So maybe that's why.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they are marketing it like this luxury item. Maybe the box is like as big as a car.
Yeah, maybe.
They just back it up to your house. I don't know. I'm not against it. I just cannot see it
working
long term.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we're definitely going to get a shift towards first run release movies and properties to home.
Yeah.
Netflix have already secured like a whole bunch of movies. There's like a massive... like Will Smith, Joel Edgerton fantasy movie coming to Netflix first. Mm-hmm. Like all those Adam Sandler movies now come to Netflix. I think we're probably more likely to get more of that as opposed to you can watch Civil War on your television the day that it comes out.
Mm.
Maybe.
Speaking of Will Smith,
yeah.
I forgot to mention, I should do this every week, because every week we get sent like great fan art and all sorts of crazy stuff. That's actually good.
Thank you.
At Adam King XV on Twitter sent me, he made his own The Pursuit of Happiness, which is, for anybody who doesn't know, I firmly believe there in some parallel universe, there's a universe where Will Smith continued to do a rap at the end of every one of his films that explained the plot of said film, even like...
Absolutely.
Like The Pursuit of Happiness or what have you. Anyway, he made a whole bunch, including Do the Bag of Ants Dance from Legend of Bag of Ants. Watch Me Ghost, Welcome to After Earth from the film After Earth. You know, Make Your Head Hurt from the Columbia Pictures film Concussion. Great stuff. Deadshot's coming, featuring Robbie Robb from Suicide Squad. Anyway, it's great. They're on my Twitter at Wikipedia Brown if you want to check out. There's heaps. I'll try to, if somebody sends me a sweet fan art, I'll try to retweet it and put it in their feed. So yeah, check that out.
Get that bloody hit it out to them.
Yeah, it's real good.
Him. Great, awesome. All right, that's the show for this week.
Yes, it is. What's happening next week? Probably nothing.
Let's just talk about where people can find us first. You're obviously at Wikipedia Brown. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
Yep.
Also at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. It's a great place to follow. Yep. He's bloody on top of that, isn't he? Everything we do, anywhere, ever.
Better than us.
Yeah. We talked about emails and that, didn't
Sometimes
we?
Sometimes he's like, Mesa's enjoying a nice bath. And I'm like, how do you know? I mean, obviously you would, but you know, just take some time to relax, but just out of my bathroom window. Roy Collings, if that Collings. Is your real name.
Yeah. Oh, dog's awake. Hello. No, you're back down. Okay. So what else? What else we got? Oh yeah, that Bandcamp commentary's up there. You can play it for free if you want.
Yeah, WeeklyPlanetPod at Gmail and Twitter and Facebook
that's right.
and Bandcamp.
Yep. And also patreon.com/MrSunnyMovies. Yeah, if you want to do that. Also next week is finally the Batman Superman week.
We've been waiting for 3 years for this. After this last episode of the show, we're done.
Well, somebody has asked that. Like, is it? A few people asked, is it really the last episode of your show? Maybe.
Maybe it is.
So I did a thing this week.
Yes.
I was so angry. I told you this. I got
because you went on Steel Wars.
That's right.
It enraged you so.
It did. No, I got an email saying I'll be waiting for this email for like months to be like, do you? Batman Superman screening, and I'm like, yes,
uh-huh.
And it's on like a Tuesday night, and I'm bloody over the moon, right?
Uh-huh.
And I just get this email, and then I messaged you. I'm like, hey, are you in? Because I got to put your name in or whatever. And then you messaged back, yes, but I fell asleep for like an hour.
I see.
And then I woke up, and then I went to do it, and it said out of tickets.
Oof.
And I fucking lost my mind. Like there was a good 5 minute. Period where I was just like inconsolable.
Did you break anything?
Did you shove a thing? I didn't shove anything.
Because past James would have shoved a thing probably.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, or a person.
Yeah.
but yeah, so, and the worst part was it was my own fault.
Right, which is the worst.
That's the, like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't, you know, blame anybody else, obviously. It was just my own idiocy.
Sure.
So I emailed them and I rang them and eventually they said, look, there was a glitch in the system. Here are your two tickets, it's fine.
The glitch was you fell asleep?
The glitch was, no, but apparently, like, it just, like, there was massive demand and it just kind of crapped out. But, we got a couple of tickets, so we're seeing it a little bit early. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, obviously. But, yeah, we'll let you know what we think of it next week, and I'll try and get a review up. I think Tuesday night is when, in the US, is when the embargo breaks.
Oh.
Because there's...
Are we... Attach the embargo? Do we
have
the embargo?
Oh, yeah, we got to sign a thing, yeah. Oh, if you're going to review it before the embargo.
Can I just release a tweet that says either yay or boo?
I don't see why not.
Great.
I mean, I don't
know. Look out for that, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's very exciting. It's the culmination of everything we've ever done in our lives that we're not involved with.
Yep, correct. So it's...
What do you think? Do you still think it's going to be good?
I think it's going to be good, but it's not going to be surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, like what we don't know. We don't know where Aquaman's going to be. We don't know where the Flash is going to be. We don't know what Cyborg's going to be up to.
Yeah.
Other than that, we know every step of the plot.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Unless they throw us a weird curveball.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. Here we go.
Maybe. We might read out a few opinions. So if you hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod.
Yeah.
Shoot us an email. We'll.
Yes.
We'll read out a few. I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's the show.
That's the show. We did it again.
Exciting week, Mason.
Very exciting.
Exciting.
Yeah. Exciting.
All right. That's
BBSDOJ. Hashtag BBSDOJ.
BBS Dodge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Grab that gem, everybody. Okay. We'll see it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.